There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I was just talking to Scott Jagow and Drew Young about my football team. It's new territory for me. Indiana's 5-0. It's crazy. Just crazy. Indiana's 5-0, and they look every bit legit. Every single bit legit. A very good line, good quarterback play. They turned it over a few times, which they had not done all season against Maryland, and still won the game pretty handily. They were up by three touchdowns, ended up winning it by two touchdowns, 42-28. So exciting times for your host, that's for sure. Mizzou had the week off. Illinois loses at Norton, at Penn State. We talked about that. Alabama, Georgia, great game. Bama looks every bit like a contender, of course, for the national championship. Georgia will be just fine. Great, great teams going head-to-head. But there are a lot of teams to keep an eye on here. Before I get to my NFL picks, let me just do a quick little college football run-through for you. So looking at the top 25 right now, and I would anticipate that my Indiana Hoosiers will be in the top 25 here when it comes out a little bit later. But the way that it looked right this moment, Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, 1-5. All great teams. Ole Miss will fall pretty hard after losing at home to Kentucky, 20-17. Miami, I thought, had a chance to maybe run the table and maybe even, you know, flirt with number one in the country at some point. They had a little shaky game against Virginia Tech that they had to squeak through. Oregon went to UCLA and won pretty easily. Penn State, as you know, number nine, handled Illinois, and that's a good win for them. Nice, solid win. Nothing spectacular, except they did what they should have done. I think Utah is a really nice team. And then they lose to Arizona 23-10. That's a damaging loss to them. They needed to could stack some wins here. So they're 10th in the country. Missouri's 11. Missouri should move up a notch, even though they didn't play and they lost to, they didn't lose anybody, but they had Vanderbilt. They had to go to double overtime and win. Missouri, I think, might get bumped up a notch. We'll see. Michigan with a win, but barely over Minnesota, 27-24. And they're ranked 12th in the country. Nebraska came alive and beat Purdue 28-10 in the Big Ten. This Big Ten, with Illinois, shouldn't fall too far. I think Notre Dame has to protect, obviously, the rest of his schedule. Northern Illinois loss was damaging at the time, but they still have a pretty good shot. And just kind of peeking at these other teams, Oklahoma now 4-1. They'll have a big game looming against Missouri on November 9th that could really help them, but they've got to keep winning. But, yeah, there are a lot of tough games for Oklahoma. I mean, they've got to play Texas next after this bye week, South Carolina at Ole Miss, which was embarrassed, at Missouri, Bama, and at LSU. Yikes. That is a tough, tough schedule for Oklahoma. So, this is going to be a fun college football season. I think it's fun when 12 teams make it. I think that is great. I like that a lot. 12 teams make the college football playoff, and we'll see where this all heads. Meantime, let's get into our picks, shall we?
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Okay, there it is. Tom Ackerman, the great offensive lineman. Not me, but my good pal. That someday we will pay even greater tribute to the great Tom Ackerman, the Tennessee Titans offensive lineman. One other college football note, if I may, is that UNLV smoked Fresno State 59-14 in a game that they were favored to win by 2.5 points. You don't think Barry Odom and that team, they were ready to go after the whole Sluka controversy, the quarterback who said he should have gotten paid NIL, and there was who's his agent, and what the heck, is this the new territory of NIL, and that's too bad because UNLV was having such a good year, and what's his future, and did he hurt his career? UNLV dusts themselves off. They practice all week, and they blow out Fresno State 59-14. Watch out for Barry Odom, the former Missouri Tigers coach. All right, let's get into our NFL picks. Before we talk to Lutz, Fan, and Steele, I'll be quick. The Kansas City Chiefs, let's start with them. They play on KMOX today at 3:25 against the Los Angeles Chargers. We are picking with or against the spread here. They are a 7.5-point favorite against the Chargers. I think it's about time for a Chiefs blowout. I think they are about ready to do it. I think they'll have a lot of fans there today. And they've won their games by the following scores: 27-20, 26-25, 22-17. All wins. Chiefs need more. They all know that. I think it's time for the Chiefs to blow somebody out. I'm going to take the Chiefs minus 7.5 against the Chargers. Here are the noon games today. New Orleans at Atlanta. The Saints are 2.5-point dogs on the road. Give me the Saints plus 2.5. Rams at Chicago. Ugh. Gross. Bears minus 3. I'll take the Bears at home. Minnesota at Green Bay. Are the Vikings for real? We're about to find out. They play at Lambeau today. They are 2.5-point dogs. I think they are. I'm going to take them plus 2.5. Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. The Colts are 2.5-point dogs at home. The Steelers finish games, folks. Steelers are not to be messed with right now. I like them covering the 2.5. I'm taking the Steelers minus 2.5. Denver at the Jets. Love the way the Jets are playing right now, but be careful here. 8-point spread. The Broncos just came off a very confident win at Tampa Bay, 26-7. I'm going to take them plus 8 against the Jets. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. So I just mentioned Tampa Bay got smoked last week by the Broncos, and the Eagles are a good team. The spread here is 1. Eagles favored by 1 at Tampa Bay. Give me the birds. Eagles. Minus 1. Cincinnati at Carolina. The Bengals are 4.5-point favorites. If the Bengals don't win today, they are done. They will not make the playoffs. 0-3 teams don't make the playoffs. The Bengals have to win today, and they have to win decisively. The Bengals minus 4.5 all day long. Jacksonville at Houston. Jacksonville is a turnover machine. They're a mess. Give me Houston minus 5.5 at home against the 0-3 Jaguars. Washington at Arizona. Love Jaden Daniels. Love him. Loved him at LSU. Love him here in this rookie year. And I'm going to take him on the road plus 3.5 at Arizona. New England at San Francisco. Niners are a 10-point favorite. I'll take them. It's a lot of points, but I'll take the Niners minus 10 at home. Cleveland at Vegas. Oof. Do I have to pick somebody? Cleveland minus 2.5 at Vegas. I told you the Chiefs cover, Buffalo at Baltimore is a great football game tonight. The Ravens are 2.5-point favorites. I like them to go 2-2 and cover the 2.5. Tennessee at Miami on Monday Night Football. I'm going to go with the Titans +2 to get their first win of the year. And Seattle at Detroit, the Monday night game is going to be bananas there. That 3.5, that hook, I'm not so sure about, but I'll reluctantly take Detroit -3.5, giving Seattle, a good team, 3.5 points. There's your NFL pick. Salutes Fan and Steel is going to be calling in 15 seconds and will be joining us next on Sports on a Sunday Morning, sponsored by Graybar.
Tomlin back and in full form. This ball disgorged by Berkey downfield. Klaus gets to it as defender went down in the box. Choo-choo for the end.
Listen to that play. City Park, Rasmus Alm with the goal, his second of the season. Sporting KC responded. Then Edward Leuven with a goal to secure a 3-1 victory for City against Sporting Kansas. Joining us is Lutz Vandensteel, sporting director for City. Good morning, Lutz.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Always fun after a win, and a good win. You get your rival again. You went unbeaten against Sporting KC. What does that mean to your organization to be able to do that against the team across the state?
Yeah, I think it was one of the highs this season, having two good results away in Kansas, and then yesterday I think we deserved that victory. We worked hard for it. It was an entertaining game, it wasn't all that easy because Sporting played some good football. There was some moments after they closed it to 2-1 that, we got a bit shaky at times. But, Edu's goal kind of sealed the deal. And it means that, people shouldn't really cut us out yet for 2025. I think we know what we are capable of. I think you saw the changes we made now in the last transfer window where, I would say, pretty magnificent when it comes to the change, the way we play football. And I think that's something we really can look forward to. On the other hand, Tom, it was a bit of a bittersweet victory yesterday because I was on the phone and watched at the same time Minnesota play against Colorado. And yeah, with that victory, that means we are also eliminated from the playoffs for this season, which is definitely disappointing.
Yeah, I understand that, and especially after everything that happened last year, the magical ride that I hope somebody someday makes a documentary about, this team that came to St. Louis and won the Western Conference the first year. But you knew that this was going to be a long-term play. You wanted this team to be great for many, many years, and unfortunately you dealt with some things this year. You dealt with a lot of injuries. You almost had it. Didn't Toyshirt almost not play in that game last night? I mean, he played a phenomenal game, hurt, didn't he?
Yeah, he was man of the match. But he got a bad knock on the knee, so it was really a 50-50 if we can play him. And, we waited till the last moment to make that final decision. But, it was nothing dangerous. It was just something extremely painful. Very similar to what Chris Durkin has as well, where you just have to play him through that pain barrier. I think if Cedric can play with pains that well, then I'm really looking forward when he doesn't have any pains, because there was yesterday a man-of-the-match performance. But as you said, going back, the season, it's I looked at the stats during the week at some stats, and we played just as one thing to for everybody to think there as well. We actually played 10 centre-backs this season. And a normal team all over the world in the top five leagues plays 3.4 centre-backs a year. That's a position you don't change much. We had 10 different players actually playing in that position, and that shows that the injury just disrupted that. And having key positions like that where stability and consistency is the most important thing, yeah, made it just extremely difficult. But then again, I think the hope and the way we played, you saw in recent weeks, the way we performed, the way we became a team again. And I think that's the most important part, the way we grew together again as a group. I think everybody in the stadium felt it yesterday. I have to say the supporters were absolutely world class. You know, there was a few people here from Europe that were like, wow, that's unbelievable. So it was a special night. It was a great night. It proved to us that we still can win two in a row. It proved to us that we still can win games. The only thing which didn't prove to us was that we can't keep a clean sheet, so that's something to work on. And I always need to find the negative. Of course, that's my job as well. But I'm pretty excited about that performance yesterday. We're getting ready to travel to LA. We have another home game next week. You know, three games more to play in total, and I think that's for us to literally show ourselves to the fans, but also make a statement that. We know where we want to be next season.
Yeah, your LA game will be on Wednesday night, and I have to give this team credit, and maybe, you know, I should also give John Hackworth some credit here for keeping this team not only playing with a great attitude, knowing that they were just about eliminated, now officially eliminated, but playing technically some good soccer, it looks like. I mean, they it's a nice, fluid type style of play, is it not? And how much credit should go to John Hackworth for that?
Yeah, definitely a lot. You know, I mean, it was never a question for me when we parted ways with Bradley Connell that John should take over for the time being. John should take over and get that team back on track and get them together again. And I think John did a fantastic job. He's a great man manager, but he's also a good coach on the field. He's a good tactician. And yeah, you know, that's. I think John wants to show himself and wants to stay head coach. And I think yesterday what he did, or what the boys also did for him and did for all of us, I think gives them a good case.
How did Klaus play last night?
You know, this is the funny thing about professional soccer. You're looking at a center forward and you say, well, now Klaus didn't score again. But if you were in the stadium and you watched him yesterday, one of the best games he played, the way he holds up the play, the way he can shield the ball, also the way he muscles out defenders. And I think that second goal of Rasmus Alm, where Cedric Teuchert played the assist, the way Klaus got in there and actually won that battle, I thought it was a really good performance. He worked hard. He was involved in a lot. He's very difficult to really mark completely out of the game. He gives opposition defenders a lot to think of. So I think his presence can make a difference. So I think it was a really good performance by him yesterday.
You definitely, it's a lesson, isn't it, in watching this sport, that you do not have to take a shot on goal necessarily to have an impact in a game. I mean, you do. There's so much that happens over the course of 90-plus minutes.
100%. I mean, as I said, you know, in the end of the day, a center forward always gets measured on the goals he scores. And we know that Klaus can score and Klaus will score. But sometimes it's more than that. If you get these spaces and you help to open up gaps for your fellow players, like yesterday for Teuchert, for Hartl, for Alm, then, you know, you do a job. And we scored three goals. And I think Klaus was involved a lot in everything we did. And then it's not only about pure numbers, how much you score, it's how much you're involved and how much actually you create for your own players. So, I always believe that, and I like to repeat it every week to you, it's a team sport. It's not about one person get his name on the score sheet. There's so much more to it. It's always a group who really, tries to make things better. And that's how we succeeded last year. That's how we're doing, I would say, pretty good in recent weeks, and that's how we're going to approach next year as well.
It will bear watching here how you finish, certainly to get ready for, as you said, 2025. Nobody should be discounting St. Louis City SC. It's a quick off season. We know that. So these seasons tend to blend into one another, and it won't be long before we're talking about 25, but there's still work to do. You play on Wednesday, as you said, against LAFC on the road, and we wish you the best on it. We'll have it on Y98, our station right here in the building. Lutz, thank you so much for the visit.
Thanks so much, and we talk next week.
Absolutely. There he is, Sporting Director of St. Louis City SC, Lutz Vandensteel, joining us on KMOX. We always appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break. Now, the topic of the weekend really was the Cardinals, and specifically a story written by Katie Wu of The Athletic. None other than Katie Wu will be featured on this next segment of Sports on a Sunday Morning coming up right after this.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We are back. Welcome back to the show. It is always good to be with you, and I appreciate everyone's loyalty to this show. I want to say that Sports on a Sunday Morning has an incredibly dedicated audience, and I know many of you at this time expect to hear John Mozeliak. Also, credit goes to our guests because they make it a point, whether it's an organization or an individual, to have somebody ready to go every single time. And John Mozeliak and I actually do it ourselves. We book that and make sure that he's ready to go. And I know I already saw this on social media. Oh, Mozeliak's not on the show. Something must be wrong, or he doesn't want, or he's hiding, or he doesn't want to talk, or something like that. That's not the case. He is on a plane and he is traveling. That is what he told me, and he's not available to be on the show today. So we appreciate, as always, the communication. We do anticipate there could be some more communication coming between the team and its fans and the media. That is to be announced. In the meantime, a big discussion about an excellent story written by Katie Wu, and I want to get right to it. This is KMOX's Matt Pauly with, from The Athletic, Katie Wu.
Thanks for coming on to the program. What's been the reaction to this from today?
No, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think, you know what, if you really break down the Cardinals and where they've been heading over the last, you know, definitely 2 years, but obviously dating much further back, I would hope fans find this as somewhat of a reprieve. Look, it's never easy to accept your organization probably won't be competitive for a few couple of seasons, but I think the Cardinals fan base in general is pretty smart. And I think what they want is a plan, and they want the organization to be transparent about the plan. And I think if you give this passionate fan base that, they'll respond accordingly. So I think it's been revealing to kind of see that kind of response. It's certainly not a direction the organization wanted to do, but it's the direction the organization felt like they had to move in.
You spoke with people anonymously, and they were able to speak very openly with you. There are many quotes in your story that are quite honestly kind of damning about the way things have gone. As you were having those conversations, were you at all surprised with what you were hearing?
A little bit, just because it's always surprising when you're going to see something with that much candor and that much honesty.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Within any kind of organization, what was surprising to me was that it was, you know, it's certainly not solely on player development, but the Cardinals for so long have been, you know, renowned for their homegrown infrastructure and how they like readily produce caliber baseball players from their own system, and that they were having such trouble doing so, I thought it was really alarming, because again, you think about the St. Louis Cardinals and you think about their ability to churn out guys continuously and always having a sound roster of their own growing. I mean, you look at someone like Brendan Donovan, who I think is the example of when the Cardinals get it right. They used to have five or six Brendan Donovans that's on the roster at any time. So that's what was most surprising to me, was that an organization built and founded over the last 20 years on having solid player development have lost the way and fallen so far behind.
I thought one of the most interesting revelations was the fact that John Mozeliak essentially has one bucket of money to work with, and he kind of determines on it, are you going to spend this money on the major league roster, or are you going to spend this money on creating infrastructure and having technology and staff members and everything that goes along with player development? And he's sort of been forced to spend it on the major league roster, and that in turn has resulted in falling behind on the other side.
Yeah, it's been a difficult decision for John Mozeliak, and I don't think he's immune to all criticism, but it was a tough choice he had to make. Look, we all have bosses, right? And Mo's boss is Cardinals ownership. It's the DeWitts. And if the DeWitts are only giving their baseball operations a set amount of money, well, I don't really know if we can blame Mo for doing everything he could to ensure that the team at the big league level was winning. Now, we can go back and forth on if the free agent signings were smart, if the trades panned out. Sure, that I think makes total sense. But I'm not sure we can condemn Mo for not spending on player development when it was so clear that he was going to have to make a choice. And he felt like he needed to make the choice that was going to show up and people would respond the most to, which is the success or lack of success for your big league club. So a difficult decision for Mo to make. Ultimately, it came down to having to make some really tough decisions because he was only operating with a set amount of money.
You know this organization very well, and there's going to be different people who fall into different camps. But generally speaking, do you think there's relief in the organization that this information comes out because it helps prepare the fans and helps fans understand these decisions that are going to be announced at some point in the near future? Or do you think the organization maybe doesn't like everything that you wrote today because of maybe some of those quotes that were somewhat damning?
I don't think relief is the word that the organization is using. I think, you know, they are set to announce these changes and talk about it. And I think as an organization, regardless of what you're announcing, you would like the message to come from within. I know the Cardinals are planning an end-of-year press conference where they do discuss more of these changes in full. But, I mean, let's be honest, this isn't something that brewed overnight. This has been a change years in the making. And the difference is when they were winning at the big league level, they could hide it. When you're losing at the big league level, everything comes under scrutiny. And after missing the postseason for the last 2 years, it was so obvious that it was time for a change. Look, we know John Mozeliak is coming back for 2025. He's going to step down after that, is what he said. Now, for Mo, who cares a lot about this organization, I think it's important for him, and he feels it's important as well, to ensure that he's doing everything he can so that when this transition period comes around, it's in a good place. We don't know who's going to take over. We do know that Chaim Bloom is going to have a more expanded role. Would the organization have liked that probably to come from their own messaging? Sure, but at this point, with so much turmoil, things went down the way that they did because most people in the organization felt like they didn't have a choice.
We're talking with Katie Wu from The Athletic. Hopefully you're a subscriber to The Athletic so you could read the piece that got published earlier today. You mentioned Chaim Bloom, and he's coming on full-time, according to your reporting. Do we know really what that's going to look like and how that's going to possibly impact other people in the front office when you think about the Mike Gerschs and the Randy Flores and just the entire brain trust that is the Cardinals organization?
Well, Mike Gersh is under contract through 2025, and I believe assistant general managers Randy Flores and Moises Rodriguez are as well. What bringing in Chaim Bloom was the organization admitting, hey, we need fresh eyes here. Something that I actually think is commendable about the Cardinals is they are so consistent in what they do. But sometimes when you become consistent and aware of the same patterns, you're not aware of the changes that need to be made. So they brought in Chaim Bloom in 2024, the beginning of the season, to just kind of audit or canvas the player development system. Chaim Bloom has had a successful track record, 16 seasons with the Tampa Bays, turning them into a powerhouse for player development. They wanted Chaim, who's regarded as one of the best in the business in this regard, to kind of see what they were missing. So he came back, gave a full report, and now the Cardinals are looking to bring him on full time to maybe see that overhaul of the player development system. So we know he'll be in charge of hiring the team's new farm director. Longtime farm director Gary LaRocque announced his retirement a couple of weeks ago. And I think the main thing Chaim will do is look to upgrade the department, whether that's adding more positions, adding more staffing, adding more technology, or adding all three, remains to be seen. But it was made very clear to me, at least, that Chaim's first big task in this organization is getting this player development model right.
I'm not breaking any news when I say that Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak are not overly popular with a large percentage of the Cardinals fan base. And I'm of the belief that this is not an Oliver Marmol problem at all, but most people don't agree with me on that. We saw the attendance numbers and things like that. Do you get the sense that the Cardinals are at all concerned about running it back next year with Mo and Marmol and what the reaction is going to be from the fan base to that?
It's a very valid question. Mo and Ollie are the faces, especially when things aren't going well with the organization. But I think that's why how this messaging from Mo himself comes, from the organization, on what the future is so important. Like I said, if you give this Cardinals fan base a transparent plan of what's going forward, I think the majority of them will get behind it. Now, I also understand that, you know, while Ollie Marmol had a really solid season in 2022, won the division, that he's also overseen two of the most disappointing seasons in Cardinals history. And we can argue whether that's his fault or not, but I do want to say one thing. This Cardinals team in 2024 has disappointed. But if you think their performance on the field is disappointing, I challenge you to go look at their expected record this season. They have actually won way more games than they were expected to. And I think the Major League staff deserves some credit there, because when you think about the players that have not played well, you're thinking of Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Contreras has been hurt. They're big three. They didn't have a good Nolan Gorman. They didn't have Jordan Walker all year. This Cardinals coaching staff found a way to still win those tight ball games that should count for something. I know it's probably not the message fans want to hear right now, but it's clear that the organization feels like Ollie is capable of handling the next 2 years, which will continue to be challenging if the team is still investing, you know, or prioritizing their investing in player development over the big league club. So while I get it, I do think that, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing that he's still here.
Is there a scenario where if the messaging is that at the big league level they may take a step back or maybe a youth movement over the next couple years, that we see some of these veterans who are under contract make their desire known to maybe play elsewhere?
It's valid, and I can't say for sure because I'm not sure if the organization has even had those conversations yet. But you think about, you know, an impending free agent like Paul Goldschmidt, he's 37. He wants to play to win. You think about guys that were either traded here or signed here, Nolan Arenado, Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras. I mean, Arenado signed an extension to stay here to win. Contreras signed here to win, Sonny to win. So if the organization decides to take a step back and put winning on the back burner, it could very well impact their decisions. We just don't know yet. But that's something I expect to be one of the more pressing questions in the early parts of the offseason, and something that I hope we'll have more answers towards soon.
Everybody should be subscribed to The Athletic if they can financially do it, because we get amazing reporting like you had. If people are interested in an Athletic subscription, what's the way to do it?
You can sign up at theathletic.com/Cardinals, and it should prompt you. It's $1 a month for, I believe, the first 4 months right now, but we do have sales regardless, basically randomly. So always check back, and you can always send me an email or DM me on Twitter if you'd like to subscribe. But no, thanks so much for having me on and promoting the piece. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Katie. We'll see you back here in St. Louis real soon.
All right. Thanks to Matt Pauly for having Katie Wu on Sports Open Line. That was from Friday night, the day that her story from The Athletic came out, and certainly had Cardinal Nation buzzing. We're going to talk to Bernie Miklas about it next. He joins us every Sports on a Sunday morning at 11:45. We will catch up with him. Also, something happened on this date in Cardinals history that you'll want to hear. We will reminisce before we talk to Bernie next.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is presented by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back to the show. Before we hear from Bernie, this happened on this date, September 29th, 1963.
Take a good look, fans. Take a good look. This might be the last time at bat in the major leagues. Remember the stance and the swing. You're not likely to see his likes again. The pitch to Musial. A hot shot on the ground into right field, a base hit. Here's Fred around third. Here's a no throw. The Cardinals lead 1-0.
Of course he came through with a hit in his final game, final at bat. Harry Carey with one of the great calls of his career, and Stan Musial on September 29th, 1963, called it a career. On that note, congratulations to Brian Schwarzy and his bride, Danielle Turlington. They were married last night, and the reception at the St. Louis Art Museum was beautiful. Brian is Stan Musial's grandson, and congratulations to the entire Musial family. Bernie Miklas joins us. I know that highlight brings a smile to your face, pal.
anything to do with the man. We miss him. God, what a pleasure it was for me. One of the great things about me moving to St. Louis in the 1980s was having a chance to get to meet and get to know Stan Musial and talk about Polish food and all other matters that had to do with Poland. So
yeah,
our motherland. Anyway, yeah. Now what a prince! What a prince of a man he was.
Absolutely, and it's always good to have good feelings about the Cardinals and what they stand for. And I think everybody agrees they want to get back to that, Bernie. This isn't anything more than the fans want to know what the plan is, and they would like to be told that let's have a nice line of communication between this franchise, its fan base. And let's get to the bottom of this thing. And I think we may find out as early as tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just very curious at this point. You know, we've all speculated and we've given our theories. And we all know that to some extent what's going to happen, but just not the specifics. Really curious and really looking forward to hearing what the plan is and how it'll be received by Cardinals fans who, you know, they're skeptical. They're skeptical because they want to believe in everything that'll be said tomorrow or whenever it is. And I think the Cardinals are going to have to reestablish that trust. I mean, and that's a valuable thing. Your fans have to trust you. They have to believe what you're saying. You have to have full credibility with them because you're never going to make everybody happy all the time. But I think that the relationship has been damaged is maybe an understatement. And listen, that happens. That happens. This is not, in fact, it's pretty extraordinary that the Cardinals and their fans have had this great partnership for, well, the entire 29 years built for the most part, Bill DeWitt has owned the franchise. This is the first time the relationship has ever been strained and ever been damaged to the extent that it is. It's not the end of the world. You know, the sky's not falling. The Cardinals just have to regroup and come up with a better plan, and which will include, obviously, new leadership, a fresh set of eyes on the problems, some fresh vision. And this is a good thing. You know, this is going to be a good thing. That's the way I look at it. And I think it's overdue. And I think they're acknowledging it's overdue, or they wouldn't be getting ready to make changes. They've already made changes. So the Cardinals know that there's a problem, which is why they are going to try to do something about it. We'll just see how far they'll go with this.
I know you know Bill DeWitt Jr. well, and we know the chairman. I mean, he has won. I mean, he's not only a businessman, but he knows the game, and he has won. I have actually wondered, at the very top, what he is thinking and what he will say moving forward, because we really haven't heard a lot from the chairman.
Well, I think Bill DeWitt, you know, this encourages me, the fact that and thanks to STL Today for reminding us of that, because I missed it at the time. You know, at the winter warm-up, it was Bill DeWitt who said, well, this is why we're bringing in Chaim Bloom. And Bill DeWitt was very candid. He said, because we've had, you know, basically had the same setup with a lot of the same people, and sometimes you're not – I'm going to paraphrase. He basically said, so sometimes with the changes in the game and the way you put rosters together and the way you draft and develop, you know, sometimes, you know, you're just used to doing it another way. You need to bring someone, then they can tell you there's a better way to do it. I'm paraphrasing. That's basically what he said. So he took the lead on this, and he and John Mozeliak basically around the same time had the same thought, but Bill DeWitt was the one that said, you know, yeah, let's get Chaim Bloom here to be a consultant. And now we all know that Chaim Bloom's going to have a much larger role. It isn't just going to be a consultant. He's already full-time, according to Katie Wu, The Athletic, and I totally trust her reporting. So we'll see where that leads, and we'll see what his role specifically will be, other than implementing changes to the player development system that are overdue, absolutely necessary, and based on his recommendations, implementing those recommendations and how to make that better.
I think people will like Chaim Bloom. I had a nice chat with him at spring training. I think he's a brilliant mind. I obviously, he's done very well in the minor leagues with the Rays and probably should have been given a much longer tenure with Boston, but they, of course, got impatient. You know, he still did a pretty good job getting their organization going. But I do think something you just said is important to note, and this won't go over well with Cardinals fans, but that's okay because John was.
Well, Tom, you don't know, you didn't hear that since I joined Camo X, I speak the company line. I never criticize anything.
Of course.
Haven't you heard that?
Yeah. But
in fact, it's the exact opposite. But go ahead,
John. Exactly. And John Mozeliak is enemy number one. I got it. You know, we all understand that. Now, he has a lot of people that want him out of there. But something you just said, I think, is important to note. Mo actually called Bill and said, let's get Heim Bloom. Did he not? I mean,
yeah.
Was he not part of this?
Well, there's no doubt. Listen, I think Mo, it's funny. Believe it or not, it's weird. I'm telling the story in a way. I was picking up some groceries this morning, and it's a store that John Mozeliak frequents. And no, I didn't see him there. But one of the people that works there said, yeah, Mo was in the other day, and, he's always a nice guy. I like him, you know, and he's done a lot of really good things. But they're in tough shape, aren't they? And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, they just need to kind of modernize, right? Is that the word? I said, that's exactly what it is. And that's one of the points here. And I've been very, very tough on John Mozeliak. At times, I think maybe I've been a little too harsh just in terms of using inflammatory phrases and getting a little too nasty than I need be. But what the one thing I won't do is erase history. And one of the things that is, you know, very convenient when somebody loses popularity, there are a segment of people, I can't tell you how many, a population of fans, they want to erase history and basically try to tell a story. Well, Mozeliak never did anything, you know. Actually, Mozeliak was a quite distinguished president of baseball operations for a long time. But as he says, and as Bill DeWitt says, they both know it, the Cardinals model became outdated, and now it's time to change it. Again, this happens. I'm reading a story today about how the Kansas City Royals turned it around. Great story in The Athletic, and I won't go into the details, but one of the things that jumped out at me, they clinched a playoff spot, and great for them. It's the third time in the last 37 years. You know? And listen, Cardinals fans have a right to be ticked off because they've supported the team at such a tremendously high level. But there are times where I sit back and say, look, this stuff shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't have let it get bad like this, talking about Bill and Mo. But this is not exactly living baseball hell on earth, right? I think they can turn things around relatively quickly if they let Heim Bloom do his thing with player development. He went in there, the Red Sox, who were terrible at developing players, they now have the third best farm system in baseball. They had three or four guys this year who led their playoff push. They didn't make it, but because of the work he did, bringing guys that were drafted by him, they became better, and they have a younger, fresher, more athletic roster, and they've got about four or five guys on the cusp of the big leagues who are really, really talented. The point is, text me or talk to me on my YouTube channel. Well, you know, his record at Boston, he's only five games out of over 500. Missing the point entirely. He was fired because they reneged on what they wanted him to do. And they got mad when they weren't winning fast enough. But there were the ones that said, we got to cut payroll. We're going to be more efficient. We want you to put the Tampa Bay system in, drafting, developing, pipeline, you know. And he did that. He did it very, very well. But when they tell him to trade Mookie Betts, what, are you going to blame him for that? Not me. I think the Cardinals need to be reborn in terms of player development. They need to restore that pipeline that they had with Jeff Luhnow. And that will be the best thing for the organization because how do we know that? Because we saw it for a long time here when the Cardinals were thriving in terms of player development. This is a legitimate thing. It's the foundation for your franchise.
Absolutely. It was their identity without question, and I'm ready for change. Subscribe, please, to Bernie Miklas' YouTube page. It is well, well worth your time. And my friend, we appreciate it as always. Thank you. And stand by for tomorrow. We will figure it out, Bernie, what we're going to do here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And Tom, it's just a joy to be with you, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Bernie Miklas Report sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. Coming up next, we have, I believe, Second Amendment Radio, then Cardinals pregame, then Chiefs right here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.